Okay, if you remember, we're going to start on the near the bottom of Yud Amud Bet. We were in the middle of this Mishnah, which was, if we remember, there were three categories. There's Heter Nezarim Porchim Ba'avir Ve'ein Lehem Amash Yismchu, right? There's no connection to the Torah. And then we tried to say, what do you mean? There are connections, and then, right, they try to answer that up. And then they say, Hilchot Shabbat Chagigot V'hami'ilot Harehen Kahararin Hatluyim B'sa'ara. They're like a mountain that's connected with this one hair kind of string, which is a little bit in the psukim and a lot of halachot. And again, we say, what do you mean? There's a little in the psukim about Shabbat, and there's a little, right? And each time they say it's a very particular case that they're referring to, which makes this Mishnah all the more strange. As if it's just talking about one particular case, you can find one particular case in any topic. And then you have hadinim v'havodot v'atarot v'atmeot v'harayot. Now, I explained this not correctly from what I... Again, maybe there's different ways of explaining it. But this category is yesh lehem amash yismachu v'hein... Okay, period. This seems to be not exactly like what I said, that they're all in the Torah. It's more that they have more to rely on in the Torah. Okay, they're still... have a lot of explanations from the rabbis. And the Gemara is going to ask the same type of questions that they asked yesterday, which was, if they are just yesh lehen amash yismochu, and they're still not meant to be explicit in the Torah. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So what do you mean? It says it here, it says it there, it says it there, the same kind of questions. Now, just as a point, the words, just to go back for 1 minute to the Mishnah, after the words, harein karina tzviyim b'sara, right in between section number 2 and section number 3, it says, Shehein mikramu av alachot merubot. Now, there's different nuskaot and different ways of understanding that sentence. Some people say that that's a different category altogether, that it's not connected with the harim hatluyim besara. Then there's other things that are mikramu av alachot merubot. Okay, it's unclear. There's a lot of lack of clarity here. In fact, I had some time to look at Safra's book. He more raises a lot of issues here. There's all sorts of other sources. He has a good chart here. There seems to be this number 8, okay, of 8 things. Now, there's 8 things in our Mishnah. There's Heter Nedarim, Shabbat, Chagigot, Mi'ilot, Dinim, Avodot, Tarot, and Tmeot, I guess, are 1, and Arayot. Okay, no, right. It doesn't count Tmeot as a separate thing. So now, if you see, there's all these lists of 8, okay? So now, they're in different sources, he quotes. He has this nice little chart. And then there's other places where Mosif Alehen, Erchin, Charamim, Hekdeshot, Karko, Master Shane, it is all different things, and that the 8 could be just starting from Dinim and on. In other words, the last category has 8, and not necessarily altogether 8. There was this somehow magical number 8 that was connected with these things, and which 8 and what the 8 were referring to. What you see here, and we're going to see also from the next Mishnah, there was a lot of lack of clarity as to what's going on here and what the meaning of this all is and why specifically these were chosen. And not just in the Gemara, but the Tannaitic sources also, there was a lot of different things going on and how to read things. And it's not exactly the most clear-cut sugya, and what the intention of the rabbis is also not totally clear. Okay, we're going to go back to the Me'ilot now. So Me'ilot, so we're starting toward two-thirds of the way down on Yud Amud Bet. Me'ilo michtav k'tivan, isn't it written explicitly? So Amar Rav Rachama, lo nitzracha ela l'chidetnan, ha-shaliach she'asa shlichuto balabayim ma'al. Lo asa shlichuto shaliach ma'al. Remember, we had the shaliach, he goes, you give him money to buy something, he goes and buys it, and then it turns out it was me'ila money. So it's your responsibility as the owner, and that's the chiddush. And then they say, what do you mean? But if he does his own thing and he decides to buy something different than you said, then it's his problem. That's again, what's the strange thing? He did the act, yet you, the balabayit, are responsible. And that's what Harim Atzliim Basara. But Rava doesn't like this. He says, Vama Rava, Umay Kushya, no, this is obvious. You could learn that from Truma, the Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoto, and therefore the Shaliach is doing exactly what the Baal was supposed to do, and therefore the Baal gets the onesh. So Rava says, it's Chedetanya, Nizkar Balabai Balon Nizkar Shaliach. Shaliach Ma'al, Shaliach Ma'al. If after you send him, right, here's this crazy case, you send your Shaliach to do something, all of a sudden you remember, oh my God, I gave him my Me'ilah, my Hektesh money. And you say, wait, I don't want him to do this. He, of course, doesn't know, and he does it anyway. At that point, you're no longer shogeg, because you know, and therefore you can't be responsible. So who's responsible? The shaliach. You've canceled the shlichut. He then does the act independently, even though he has no clue about it. So then they say, shliach anya, my ka'avid. Right? What this poor guy? What? Right? I love the way we would say poor guy. You know, shliach anya, my ka'avid. So hainu, and that's what the chiddush is. That's the harim atzliim basara. Amar of Ashi, my kushya. But what's the kushya here? Dilma midi dehavia motzi mod hektesh l'chulin. Anybody who takes mod hektesh and uses them for chulin purposes, even though they didn't intend to and they had no idea, just like this shaliach, he's also a nebuch guy. He had no idea and yet he used it in his chayiv and mi'ila. So the shaliach should be no different. So you can't say that's harim atzliim basara. El amar of Ashi, lo nitzercha el l'chiditnan. It's for this case, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Me'ila, Natal Evan o Korash al Hekdesh. Let's say you take an Evan or a beam. You take a stone, a beam that was Hekdesh. Hare ze lo ma'al. You pick it up. Picking it up is not considered Me'ila. But Nitana l'chavero, hu ma'al chavero lo ma'al. If you give it to your friend, that act of transfer of ownership is basically when the act of Me'ila is Chal. So what happens now? You give it to him, so you're over on Me'ila, and he, now it becomes Chulin though, because you've turned it into Chulin, because you've used it for regular purposes. He can do whatever he wants with it, no problem. So now what do they say? Michte mishkal shakla, malihu, mali chavero. The fact that he picks this up and isn't obligated in Me'ila at that point, what's the difference if he picks it up to use for himself or he picks it up to use it for his friend? In any case, right, he's basically transferring ownership from it being a hekdesh item to being a regular item. He picks it up to use in his house for whatever reason. Why is he not chayav in me'ila at that point? That's the chiddush. Hainu kararim atzliim basara. So now they say, umay kushya, but what's the problem with this? Dilma kedish Shmuel, da'amar Shmuel, maybe the Mishnah is talking about this particular case. Shmuel said about that Mishnah, Hacha b'gizbar ha-misirolo avnei binyan askinan. T'kol hecha demanche b'reshuta didei mancha. They're not talking about a regular person. A regular person who would pick up a hekdesh item and start to use it in his house. Okay? Obviously, that would be me'ila because he's using it in his house. But if the guy was the gizbar of the hekdesh, and therefore, if he uses it in his house, his whole house is basically considered the property of hekdesh because he is using this item. His whole house is where he keeps all the hektesh stuff. So picking it up in his house isn't transferring ownership because he's not really using it for himself. He's like a shaliach of the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, as long as it's still in his reshut, it's still considered within the hektesh property. And only when he gives it to somebody else is he removing it from hektesh. So then they say, Elami Seifa, but the Seifa says, so then again, what do you have? That this case is not unique. And right, this case is not a chiddush. If it's not a chiddush, then it shouldn't be considered harim hatzliim basara. So what do they say? Elam yisefa, but look at the sefa. Bina'a betoch beito hareze lo ma'al ad shiador tachte b'shave pruta. If he builds this, if he puts this into his house, let's say he's building a wall with stones. So he uses one of these stones to build a wall in his house. So if he does that, that's not considered me'ila. Ad shiador tachte b'shava pruta. He has to live underneath it, like let's say he has to put it in the roof and live underneath it and get benefit from it, hana'a from it, okay? That's worth a pruta, like of living in a living space. Just putting it in his wall doesn't do anything until he actually benefits from it. So they say, michta shnuye shnia mali dar mali lo dar. Hainu karim atzliim basara. So they say, that's the chiddush. What's the difference whether you live underneath it or you don't live underneath it? Because as soon as you put it in your wall, you've done a ma'aseh, right? The ma'aseh changes it, right? Just picking it up maybe doesn't change it from hekdesh to chulin. But putting it in your wall is an act, and that act should change the reshut from the hekdesh to you. So therefore, it shouldn't make a difference whether you live underneath it or you don't live underneath it, and that's the harim atzliim basara. Again, we're going to reject this. Umay kushya. Dilma l'chadirav, maybe this goes according to Rav, da'amar Rav. Kigon shehinicha al pi aruba. I darba in, lo darba lo. So what does that mean? That if you put a stone, let's say you have a little hole or a chute, right? And you put the stone in the chute. It wasn't as part of a wall. You just placed it to cover up a hole. So then, that's not a really a ma'aseh binyan, because you're just like using it as a pkak, you know, as a cork. So that would not be considered a ma'aseh binyan that would transfer the ownership unless you actually benefited from it by using the space underneath it. Okay? Whereas, you know, let's say the rain's going to come through and you're benefiting from the fact that the rain's not coming in now. So in that case, again, it's not a chiddush. Okay? So therefore, we're rejecting. And then we say, ela la'olam kidirava. So now we can't come up with any additional things. So we're going to go back to one of the interpretations that was mentioned earlier. Okay? And Rava, let's just find Rava. Rava says, Nizkar balabayit velo nizkar shaliach. He brings back that weird case about if the balabayit remembers that it was hektesh money and his shliach is already on the way, right? Now we're going to learn something that's a little different from the way we explained it earlier, okay? Before then, we explained there were two types of shogeg. There's shogeg that you knew the money was hektesh, but you forgot and you used it and you forgot about it. And then there's shogeg that you had no idea the money was ever hektesh. Okay? So until now, we basically said that they're treated the same in both times, Shechayev and Me'ila, because that's what Me'ila is. It's shogeg, you didn't know. But in many other categories of shogeg, there's shogeg karov lamezi, there's shogeg karov laones, we all know that accidents, right? You always say, accidents happen, right? Accidents happen because you're not careful, right? That's shogeg, that's your classic case of shogeg. But in this case, the shaliach is so honest, right? He had no idea. So that's what they're going to say now. So he says, when Rava says that that's this case, that the chiddush is that the shaliach, even though he had absolutely no idea, number one, he had no idea that the money was hektesh. Number two, he had no idea that the balabayit canceled his shlichut, right? Again, no communication, no way of knowing. So now what do they say? We said, but it's just like anybody who's using Maud Hektesh Lechulin and doesn't know. It's shogeg. So what do they say? In the case, the normal case of Me'ila is when you know that you knew that the money was Hektesh, and therefore you should have been careful. You should have checked it out and made sure before you picked up this money that it wasn't Hektesh money. But hacha, in our case of the Shaliach, Miyada, he had absolutely no way of knowing, and that's more onus and not shogeg. So even though earlier the Gemara seemed to indicate that these were all the same, now the Gemara is kind of stuck, and therefore they're saying it must be that they're not exactly the same. Okay? And that there's a difference in the levels, and if you're really onus and you had absolutely no idea, here it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say this, but I was thinking there's really two issues here, right? Because it's number one, he didn't know that the money was hektesh. And number two, he didn't know that the guy canceled his shlichut, so he's even more onus than just a regular case. And that's Hayinu Karirim Hatzliyim Besara. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara after making many different attempts with Me'ila to figure out some case that's not really clear and obvious that we have to say is like a Harim Hatzliyim Besara. They end up with this case of where the shaliach goes, the balabai cancels, and the shaliach has no idea, and then he goes and buys exactly what the balabai told him, and it's his fault, his responsibility, not the owner's.
So this chumrah is a karim tlim
b'sara. That's when we say me'ila is karim tlim b'sara. That's what we mean. That case. Okay. Like I said, by the time we get to the Gemara's explanations of these things, it's very far off. What's clear here is that they didn't really. I mean, I think that it was unclear what the author of this Mishnah intended. And the Gemara, it's obvious, right? The Amoraim were really struggling with trying to figure out what's going on here about every single aspect of this Mishnah, right? Every single line they can't really figure out. And we're going to see the next Mishnah is also one of these very unclear Mishnayot. We're going to try at the end to sort of see how they all fit into one kind of unit. But again, we're going to be left with more questions than answers today. Mikra mu'at v'halachot merubot. Now they're going to bring us a different source of something that's mikra mu'at v'halachot merubot. Tana, okay, and this also, I mentioned that these words are kind of in the middle and maybe they're a whole separate unit. And here we're going to see that there's another makor tana'i, which talks about just this category and brings up two different things which don't appear in our Mishnah at all. Tana, nigaim, which is tzara'at, okay, right, all the different nigaim. Ve'ohalot, okay, the din of ohel and tumah. Mikra mu'at v'halachot merubot. OK, Okay, there's very little in the Torah. There's many halachot about them. Nigaim mikramuat. What do you mean nigaim is mikramuat? Nigaim mikramuvahu. There's a whole parsha, right? Mitzorah. Okay, lots of details about them. Amara papa hachi kamar. No, you misread the Mishnah. The Mishnah reads like this. Nigaim mikra merubava halachot muatot, o halot mikra muava halachot merubot. Okay, that really they're bringing nigaim and ohalot is comparing, contrasting them. Okay, though nigaim there's a lot in the Torah and much less from the rabbis, and the ohalot is exactly the opposite. Very little in the Torah, most of it interpreted by the rabbis. Umay nafkamina, what's the relevance? Right? What's the relevance? Whether here's our big question, right? Why do we care whether it's halachot merubot, halachot muatot? Im istav kalach milta b'negayim, ayni b'kray. V'im istav kalach milta b'olot, ayni b'matnitin. If you have a question about one of these things, you got to know which book to open. Okay? This almost seems reminiscent of how we ended just before this Mishnah about La yotze v'laba ein shalom, and we said that's someone who leaves the learning of halacha and he goes back to the psukim, that's going to mess him up because the psukim don't really have the Torah in them. Or if he leaves one, right, and then there were all different things. If he leaves the Gemara and he goes to the Mishnah, so here they're kind of taking a different approach. It depends. It's not that you never look at the Torah for things. It depends which topic. You kind of have to know which topic falls into which category, that's where you should be looking. So, in the end, maybe we'll try at the very end to try to connect all these things that seem sort of disconnected, and what are they talking about? And maybe we'll, if we have time, we'll try to make some sort of unit of it about all these things connecting to each other. Dinin. Okay, now we're to Dinei Mamonot. Mechtav Tivam. What do you mean? It's written in the Torah, Dinei Mamonot. There's lots in the Torah. Lo nitzcha ela l'chidu Rebbe. Very famous halacha. Detanya, Rebbe Omer, nefesh shacha nefesh, mamon. Ataomer mamon enu ela nefesh mamash nemranetina lamata venemranetina lamala mala hala mamon afkan mamon. Okay, here's a pasuk, a very famous pasuk. Okay, if you look at your sheets, Shmuel Perek Kaf Aleph, it says v'chiinatzu anashim, two men are fighting, nagfu ishahara, and they hit a pregnant woman. She gets in the way. They hit her by accident. V'yatzu yiladea, that means, right, it's interesting why it's plural, but her embryo, right, she loses the baby. V'lo yihiyah ason, meaning she doesn't die. Ano she'anesh kasher yashita labala isha b'natam b'flilim. Okay? So what does that mean? He should get punished by the amount that the husband of the wife puts upon him. Okay? B'natam b'flilim, and he puts it in judgment. In other words, they take them to judgment. V'imason yihyeh v'natata nefesh shachat nefesh. So now they're saying, if there's an ason, something happens, then you do nefesh tachat nefesh. Okay, this means if the woman dies. Okay, look at Rashi for a minute. Imason yihyeh shemeta haisha yitein mamon demei haisha liyorsheh she'ein aleha chiyuv mita shelo nitkaven la'ela l'chavero nitkaven. Okay, fascinating. This woman gets killed, but you don't get killed for it. Even though the pasuk says, if she dies, you should get killed. This was not intentional. He didn't intentionally kill her. It just happened. He was hitting his friend. Right? It's interesting because he was intending to hurt somebody, but in the end, okay, so now, v'chi yinatzu anashim yachtav kasava rebi nitkaben laharog etze v'arag etze patur mi mita v'mashalei mamon. Okay? Now, how do you learn that v'mashalei mamon here? So what does it say? It says in the pasuk before, v'natam v'flilim, which is money. And it says in the second pasuk, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. So they learn a gzerah shava between natan and natata, that the nefesh tachat nefesh is mamon. Okay? So very interesting halacha. And then, so that's Rebbe's opinion. Okay? So according to Rebbe, that's the dinim that's not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. And that's the dinim that we're talking about. Yesh lehem amash yismochu, because it's a gzerah shava. But it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. All these cases, by the way, are going to be, I think all of them, are gzerot shavot. Okay, all these four cases. Avodot. Okay, here we're at korbanot. Again, michtav tivan. There's like almost a whole sefer on korbanot. What do you mean they're not written? Lo nitzurcha ela laholachat adam. Okay, there's four avodot for a korban. There's shchita. After you sheft it, you're mekabel et adam. You hold out a bowl, and you catch the blood that's coming out. That's considered an avodah. Then you do holacha, which is you walk the blood to the place where you're going to sprinkle the blood. And then you do zrikan, you sprinkle the blood. What does it mean it's an avodah? It means that there's specific halachot guiding it. A kohen has to do it in the big day kahuna, and it has to be done, you know, there's all sorts of details that apply only to the avodot, as opposed to the things that maybe aren't considered avodot, and then they can be done in some other way. But these four avodot have to be done. The first one, actually, the shchita, can be done even by a non-kohen. But the fact that you're saying that that holachat adam is an avodah, you might have just thought technically you just have to get the blood to the place. So that's not an avodah, but no, this is saying it's considered one of the avodot, and all the klalim that apply to avodot in the korbanot apply to this also. Like, you have to have the right intention. If you intend to move the blood for some other reason and you lose the right intent, then you can mess it up. There's all sorts of things. So now they say, that's what we learn. We learn holachat adam from the you know, that's not said explicitly. Why is it not said explicitly? How do we know? D'tanya, v'hikrivu, and how do we know that we do have holachat adam? What's the limud? V'hikrivu zo kabbalat adam. V'afka rachmanu b'lshon holacha d'chti v'hikriva kohen et hakol v'hiktira mizbecha. V'amamar zo halachat evarim lakevesh. L'memra d'holacha lo tafka michlal kabbalah. Okay, so what do we have here? There's two psukim. So look at the psukim inside. B'shachat et ben abakar lifnei Hashem. V'ikrivu b'nei, we're in Vayikra perek aleph pasukim. V'ikrivu b'nei Aaron hakohanim et hadam. V'zarku et hadam al hamizbeach saviv asher petach ol moed. So it says v'ikrivu et hadam. What's ikrivu? Ikrivu doesn't mean melashon korban. It means they brought it close, which means holacha, right? So they're saying from here you learn. They say the krivu is kabbalat adam. Okay? It's not the krivu holacha, it's kabbalat adam. Okay? And then they say, but why was it said in the lashon of vihi krivu, meaning holacha? It sounds like, right, they brought the dam. So then they say, look at the other pasuk. It says, vi kriva haron here, va ker va karayim yirchatz b'mayim, vi kriva kohen et hakol, vi ktir hamizbecha. Okay? So now they say, okay, here they're saying it can't be haktara because it already said v'iktir hamizbecha. So what's hikriva kohen et hakol in that pasuk? It must be tolacha lo taf kimiklal kabbalah. It has the same, because they use the word v'hikriv one time to mean kabbalah and one time to mean holacha, they equate them. That whatever is true about kabbalah is also going to be true about holacha. That just like Kabbalah is one of the avodot, and it has particular laws ascribed to it, the Kabbalah, the holacha, has the same thing. Because ikrivu is used, they use the word ikrivu to be Kabbalah, and then they use ikrivu to be holacha. So they say that means that they're the same. Okay, that's the halacha we're learning. Taharot. What about taharot? Again, mechtav tivam, what do you mean? There's all sorts of dinim of tahara in the Torah. What is tahara here? It doesn't mean what's tahor and what's tameh. It means how to become tahor. Okay? So we see exactly how to become tahor, right? You go to the mikvah, all these things. So what do they say? Lo nitzcha ela l'shiur mikvah. How much water has to be in a mikvah? We learned this a bunch of different times. How much water has to be in a mikvah? Where do we learn it from? Delo ktiva, it's not said explicitly in the Torah. Where do we learn it from? Titania berachatz. Okay, here you can look at the pasuk. Vayikra tevav pasuk tetzayin. Beish ki teitzemi menu shechvat zera berachatz b'mayim et kol b'saro b'tamei ad ha'erev. By the way, I've noticed, I don't know why this is, but it's been quoted a bunch of times in Gemaras we've seen, and it always says berachatz et b'saro b'mayim, even though the pasuk is berachatz b'mayim et kol b'saro.
Whoa.
Yeah. I've seen a few times in the Gemara, the nusach of the, there must, maybe there were different nuskhaot of this pasuk, how this pasuk actually reads, or somebody who edited the text had the wrong, I don't know, but it's definitely not the first time I've seen where it's et b'saro, and it's said the pasuk wrong. Okay, I mean, you see the parentheses, that means this is wrong, and take it out, and the notes on the side say how to read it properly, but the printed text has the mistake here. And it's not just a mistake in one place, that's what's interesting. Anyway, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'saro. So what does it say? B'mei mikveh et kol b'saro, right? V'rachatz b'mayim, what is mayim? Mei mikveh. et kol basaro. So what do you learn from et kol basaro? Mayim shekol gufo olebahem. You need water that your whole body can be submerged in. So now, what do they say? V'kamahen, how much is this? Amal amah berum shalosh amot. Okay, one by one with a height of 3 amot. Okay, 1 amah by 1 amah, height of 3 amot. That's enough for someone's body to fit in. V'az shiru chachamim mei mikva arba'im se'ah. We actually did this calculation once before. We had this with the Yam Shel Shlomo, I think, was when we did this thing. Anyway, it's a whole calculation how you get the 1 by 1 amah by 3 amot is equal to 40 se'ah. We're not going to go into it now. Okay. Tmeot. Okay, what about tmeot? What is this? So now they say, again, it talks about sheret and right, all these things that are metame. They're all said in the Torah. So what are you talking about? Mechtav tivan. Lo tzricha ela l'chadashat min hasheretz. How much? What's the shear? Just like the shear of the mikvah. Now we're going to say, what's the shear that a sheret is metame? The size is ka'adasha. Delo ktiva. Doesn't say it explicitly. Ditanya. Bahem. Okay, what's this pasuk? Eilat hatmeim lachem b'chol hasheretz. Okay, these are the tmeim lachem b'chol hasheretz. These are the things that will become tameh. The last pasuk on the page. Kol hanogea bahem b'motam yitmah ad'erev. Anybody who touches them when they're dead will be tameh ad'erev. So now, what do they say here? Bahem yach. Okay, here it should be lahem. Actually, I think the note says lahem. Right? Yeah. It should, 1 second, no, where's the sign? Bahem, 1 second. I think they're referring to lahem. Yachol b'kulan, right? You would have thought, elat meim lachem, you would have thought b'kulan, okay, that in their entirety. The sheretz has to be whole in order for it to be a problem. Tamud lomar, oh sorry, no, it is bahem. The next pasuk I forgot to bring. The next pasuk is mehem. Kol anogea bahem. If you're nogea on the sheretz, makes it sound like a full sheretz you're nogea on. Okay? Then yitmah de'erev. But here's the next pasuk. I forgot to bring that pasuk. Tamud lamar mehem. What's mehem? That's the next pasuk. Let's just see it inside. It should be, if you have the gemara on the side, it says it.
Rashi.
Rashi has it? Okay, fine. Yeah, it's not here. That's weird. Okay. Mehem. Kol asher yipol alav mehem bimotam yitmah. Anything that falls, if a sheretz falls upon you, okay, then you get tameh. Not just you touch it. If a sheretz falls upon you, you become tameh. But what does it say? Kol asher yipol alav mehem, from them, which makes it sound like any part of a sheretz that falls upon you, you'll be chayav. So then what did we say? Yachol b'miktzatan. You might have thought any teeny bit, even a mashahu, right? A little speckle of a sheretz. Tamud lamar bahem. Then it says bahem. Haketzad, ad shiagia b'miksato shehu kekulo. It has to be some combination, right? Because one seems to say the whole thing, and one seems to say any part of it. It has to be something in between. Shiarucha chamim ba'adasha. Sheken chomet, okay, that's one of the shratzim, is tchilato b'chadasha. It's smallest when it's first born, the size is an adasha. So they say that's the minimum size. It has to be a potential size that it could be whole, even though right now it's not whole. And that's the size they came up with. And that's exactly what we were talking about, that's that we learn out, and it isn't said explicitly. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda has a different explanation as to what the size is. Kizanav halita'a. Okay, why? What's a zanav of a lita'a, right? A lizard, what happens if you cut off his tail? It still moves around. So that's the smallest size of what can still be considered a sheretz, right? Okay, arayot. Now we're moving on to arayot.
That's a lot bigger than that.
Yeah. Right. Well, also, it depends on the size of a lita'a. It's a question what exactly he means by the zanav of a lita'a. But yeah, I would think that any size would be bigger than an adasha. Yeah. Yeah. Because what does he say? Look at Rashi. He says, V'hainu miktzato shehu kekulo sheyesh bo chayut. That's exactly a perfect case of part. It's like a hole, that's right, because it's still alive, but yet it's only a part of an animal. So he says it's not just, right, that's like the perfect case of exactly that. Okay, arayot. What about arayot? Miftav tivan, again, what do you mean? We have all these prokim full of arayot. Lo nitzricha libito me'anusato, delo ktiva. What's this? Okay, these, I didn't have a chance to put these on the page. But there's, if you, it's a sur for you to sleep with your wife and her daughter. Okay, that's what it says in the pasuk. Ish ish shall share b'saro lo tikrvu legalot erva ani Hashem. Oh no, that's the other pasuk. The first pasuk is im shachov yishkav ish otav v'tin. No, that's not the pasuk. It doesn't say it. Okay, it's the pasuk about ishto v'bito. Okay, delo k'tiva. It doesn't say explicitly though, because it seems to imply in that pasuk that it's your wife. Your wife, and it says isha ve'elbita, but it doesn't. The assumption is that your wife is the
mother.
Is the mother is your the woman
child.
And her daughter. The woman is your wife, and the daughter is your daughter. You know, her daughter, right? It means like
not
her daughter from another marriage. But what if you rape someone? Okay, so then are you forbidden also to her daughter? So you are, but it doesn't say that in the pasuk. To loktiva, to amarava, amarli Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, atya hena hena, atya zima zima. Okay, so in that pasuk it says, here we really need the pasukim.
So Rashi indicated
okay.
That the seven here that it is.
What are you saying? The Rashi indicates
Rashi
that
says
the pasukim here. Yeah.
Mashma ben shehabat mimeno ben meishacher. Meaning it's both.
Right. So bitoman. So now let me just find the psukim here. It says, oh, whether or not mentioned here. Wait. Here, ervat isha ubita lo tigale. Okay. Edbat binav edbat bita lo tikach legalot ervata sha'ara hena zimahi. Okay, so now they assume that the isha is a remez to someone who's married to you. So therefore, that pasuk only seems to say isha ubita, someone who's married to you. But if you notice in the pasuk, there's two different drashot now. One says we darshan the words hena hena that appear in that pasuk and another one, and one says we darshan zima zima that appear in another pasuk. Now, where does it say it? It says the other places ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tigale ervatan ki ervatcha hena. Okay, now there, it can't be your nechda from your wife, because that's obviously forbidden to you. So it has to be, it must be the nechda of, right? But then, it must be, the no bitomi isha she'ena ishto. In other words, this pasuk must be adding something that we wouldn't have otherwise known, and that's that it adds that it's also a daughter from an anusa. And then they say, because it says Hena and those psukim, that so therefore, just like your grandchild could be from another wife, from a rape, so this also could be from a rape. Okay? And they learn it either from the words Hena or from the word Zima. Okay. Hein hein gufei Torah. Now we get to that last line. Hein hein gufei Torah. So they say, Hane in hanach lo. What, just the last four are gufei Torah and not the other four, the original ones? The first four? And la'ema, hein v'hein gufei Torah. It's not these, right? It's these, and it means all of them. Now again, this sentence also, not so clear cut that that's the way to understand the Mishnah, and it really could be that it's referring just to the last ones, and it's different trains in the Mefreshim about this and in the Tanaitic sources, but again, that's unclear how you explain it. Is it hain hain or is it not? Okay.
How often do you see this is a later source adding above to the Mishnah?
Yeah, definitely. It's also, it could be hain hain could also be these, right? It means vehein. It doesn't necessarily mean the word was missing. It means that's what they meant when they said it. Okay, so in the end, you have those, certainly the way the Bavli takes it is that all these things are the goof of Torah, and then you have, again, a very big question. What makes these things unique over all sorts of other things? Right? What's going on here? So, Hadron Alach HaKochayvim, we're ending the parak in a very unclear place. Okay, what this Mishnah is doing, but then the next Mishnah sort of continues a little different, but again, it's really out there, and this gets even further out there than this. Ein dorshim ba'arayot b'shlosha, v'lo b'maseh b'reishit b'shnayim, v'lo b'merkava b'yachid, ela im ken hayachacham v'midato. What does this mean? You can't teach arayot with three people, okay? You can't, right? It's unclear whether we mean one person teaching to three or three people learning together. The loba maaseh b'reishit b'shnayim, you can't learn creation of the world with two people. The loba merkava b'yachid, the maaseh merkava b'yachezko, where he sees all these angels flying, You can't, right, where our Kedusha is based on partly, can't learn Merkava B'Yachid. Okay, that's always considered this esoteric, Kabbalistic stuff. And maybe the other things also, right? Creation of the world, some are problematic, and Arayot, unclear what the issue with Arayot is, whether it's an issue of Tzni'ut, like discussing things that are inappropriate, or again, maybe it's stuff that's hard to understand. Which also goes back to our previous Mishnah about things maybe being not so clear, hard to understand, they're only connected to the Torah, you can't learn them fully from the Torah, you need the Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay, and then, Ela in ken haya chacham uvimim vidato. Okay, we're going to try to figure out what this means, why a chacham can do it, and what exactly this means. We're going to get to it right away when we start the Mishnah, the Gemara. Kol ha-mistakel ba-arba'a dvarim, ratoi lo ki'ilu lo ba'la olam. Okay, ratoi, they seem to explain as ra'oi lo. It's a very strange word, not a word we know from anywhere else, really. If you look at four things, ra'oi lo shelo ba'la olam. What are these four things? Mala mala, mala mata, mala fani, mala achur. Again, very strange. What this means, very, very unclear. Okay, Rashi says, mala mala me rakia sha'al rashia chayot, right? This clearly connects with the masem rakava, the chayot, and umala mata mehen, umala fanim chut lemechitzat rakia lemizrach, umala achur lemarav. Okay, very odd what this means. Bechol shalochas al kvod kono, ra'oi lo shalo ba'al olam. Okay, if you don't have respect for kavod of borei olam, again, ra'oi lo shelo ba'al olam. Very, very difficult Mishnah to understand. We can stop here just for a minute and try to connect between all these Mishnayot. Okay, we started with, okay, if you go back, we had this Mishnah about people, yesh lo ochlim merubim u'nechasim mu'atim. Okay, if you notice, merubim, mu'atim, Mikra Muat, Halachot Merubot, Merubot. There's clearly a literary thing going on here. There's, you know, there was the people who had and didn't have. Then we moved on to the Meuvat Lo Yuchal Litkom V'Chisaron Lo Yuchal Limanot. And if you remember, we took this to a place of a Tamei Chacham Sheparesh Min HaTorah. Okay, so we jumped from the Chevra and the Merubim and Muatim, right? People who have and the haves and the have-nots. Then we moved to the people who miss opportunities, right? And first it was Tashluma, but we move from there to someone who leaves Torah study. Then we go to Torah study, basically. We're talking, right, we're here it's a little less Torah study, it's more, right, where things come from. Are they in the Torah, or are they in Torah Shabbal Peh? And then we move back to how to do Torah study. There's certain things you can't learn Torah study in a particular way, right? You can't learn certain things in groups of certain numbers of people. Right? There's this Kabbalistic stuff going on, and there's other things that we don't understand properly. And it's all, right, so it sort of comes full circle. If you look in the next Mishnah, or maybe we'll just wait till we get there. Also, we don't have a lot of time, so when we get to the next Mishnah, we'll also see how that one connects. But you see there's a clear literary device running through these things, where it's starting with Chagiga, jumping to Torah study, and then sort of going back to Chagiga. So we'll see. Okay. Amarta Bereisha V'lo B'Merkava B'Yachid. So what do you mean? First you said you can't do Merkava B'Yachid, but then you say Elim Ken Haya Chacham V'Vim Midato. It seems like you could do it B'Yachid. So Hachi Kamar, Ein Dershim Ba'Ayaro Lishlosha, not Bishlosha. You can't teach Arayot to three people, meaning altogether four people. There's the teacher and the three students. V'Lo B'Maaseh B'Reshit Lishnayim. If he's a chacham mivim midato, you can teach it one-on-one. Masem rakava can be learned one-on-one to someone who can really understand. So it doesn't mean it can be learned by yourself. It means you can't teach it to someone. Which also makes sense with the ein dorshin. Dorshin is to teach, really. So it's all about can you teach. Ein dorshin ba'arayah b'shlosha. My time. Ilem amishum dechtiv ish ish al kol she'er b'saro. Ish ish trei sher b'saro chad. Okay, what are they saying here? It says ish ish al kol sher b'saro lo tikrav legalot ervata. Okay, so now what does that mean? How do they darshan it? Ish ish is two people. Al kol sher b'saro means a third person. Right here, they're taking the pasuk totally out of his pshat. They're saying there's two people mentioned in the Torah with a third person. Okay, and therefore you learn that you can't do it for three. They say, no, Am Rahmana, lo tikrivu legalot erva, right? Don't get close to doing things with three people, right? Learning this with three people. Elameata, but if you say that, then there's all these other places where it says ish ish, and it only means one person. Ish ish ki kalel alohav. What? You're only chayev in klala if you do it two people? Or ish ish asher yitem bizar olam olach. What? You're only chayev in avodah zara, giving your child to the molach, if you're two people together? No. Hachinami. So you're right. You're right. That is the case. It's not the case. You can't learn it from there. Elahanu mebayale. Why do you have ish ish? Lirabot etanochim shemuzharim al berkat Hashem ba'alav odah zara ki Yisrael. Those psukim were coming to say that it includes ish ish as a Yehudi and a non-Jew. These are things that are mitzvot b'nei Noach, the Giloy Arayot, the Avodah Zarah, okay, Berkat Hashem, Klalat, right, cursing God. Those are all things, and that's why they say ish ish, to include the Nochri. So, Hainami Mibayle l'rabot et ha-Nochrim. So, therefore, our case also is to include the Nochrim, Shemusharim al Arayot ki Yisrael. So then they say, maybe we can learn it from some other pasuk then. Ela midachtiv u'shmartem et mishmarti. Now what's interesting is, the first pasuk was the intro pasuk to the Gilo Arayot, and the pasuk they're taking now is the final pasuk of the Gilo Arayot parak. V'shamartem et mishmarti. So what do you see here? Shamartem is double lashon, right? Two people. Mishmarti is one, right? So be careful, right? What do you be careful? Be careful not to learn this with three people. V'am rachmana lebilti asot mechukot ha-toivot. So they say, if that's the case, though, elamayata dechtiv ushmartem et haShabbat, ushmartem et haMatzot, ushmartem et mishmeret haKodesh, hachinami. What you're going to say also that means three people? No, of course not. That means two people because it's just ushmartem. Can't be. Ela Amar Ravashi, my ein dorshim barayot b'shlosha, ein dorshim. Here it gets even more esoteric. Bisitre arayot b'shlosha. Okay, you can't get into the secrets of the Arayot. Okay, here we clearly have this whole Kabbalistic meaning going on here, which I'm not going to profess that I have understanding of. You can't talk about the secrets of the Arayot, b'shlosha. My taima, svarahu. It's very, you need to really understand what you're talking about. Beitre, kiyat bekame rabbihu, chad shalka batare bahade rabbe, v'idach matzle odne legamara. If you have two people sitting there, one sits before the rabbi and asks his questions, and the other listens. Talta, but if you have three, chad shalka batare bahade rabbe. One's going to ask the questions to the rabbi. V'hanach tre, shalka batare bahade adade, v'lo yadai ma'kame rabbihu. The other two are going to sit and do a diyum between themselves, and they're not going to listen to what the rabbi's saying, and they're going to come out misunderstanding. Va'atu l'mishra isura ba'arayot, and they're going to come to be matir something that's really usur. Okay, that's the concern. Okay, the concern is, right, three's a crowd, basically, right? And already you're missing the focus. You need focused attention. Ihachi kola Torah kula, tola Torah nami, right? Well, everything should be like that then. If any time you're going to teach three people, two people are going to be spacing out, then, you know, don't teach. Shane, arayot shane. Arayot are different. Why? Da amar mar, gezel v'arayot, nashom machamadetan umit avelehen. Okay, gezel and arayot are things that are unique because people have a very strong ta'ava for them. Ihachi, well, if that's the case, then gezel nami, right? Then why just arayot are you not allowed to learn, but gezel you can, if that's the case? So what do they say? Arayot. Bein befanav, bein shalo befanav, nafish yatzre. Gezel befanav, nafish yatzre, shalo befanav, lo nafish yatzre. What are we concerned about here? Really worried about arayot, and here you see, right, the sexual desire is considered the most, right, it's so strong that even if it's not in front of you, you're thinking about it and you're trying to push the limits. So therefore, we don't allow that to be learned in three because we're worried you're going to take things, right, out of your strong ta'ava, you're going to misinterpret things and get them and come to the wrong conclusions. Whereas Gezel, it's only when it's right in front of you that it's so tempting. But it's not so tempting if it's not in front of you. Below b'maseh b'reishit b'shnayim. What about this? Minan emile. How do we learn this? Ditana rabbanan. Ki sha'alna. Okay, this is the pasuk from Devarim, Perek Dalet. Ki sha'alna liyamim arishonim. Okay, asher hayu lefanecha lemin hayom asher bara Elohim adam al ha'aretz. So what does it say? Yachid shoel ki sha'alna liyamim rishonim. What do you learn here? Just yachid is shoel. Ve'ein shnayim shoelim. Yachol yishal adam kodim shenivra olam. You might have thought maybe he's asking about what happened before the world was created. Liyamim rishonim asher yu lefanecha, right? But no. But it says Talmud Lamar, Lamin Hayom Asher Bara Elohim Adam Al Haaretz. It's really talking about creation itself, right? Yechol Lo Yishal Adam Yishesh Yemei Bereshit. Maybe it's not talking about Yishesh Yemei Bereshit. In other words, he can't ask. One second. Lechol Lo Yishal. It could be just from Briata Adam, okay? And Briata Adam was on the sixth day. Talmud Lamar, Liyamim Rishonim Asher Yu Lefanecha. Yechol Yishal Adam Mala Mala Umala Mata Mala Pani Mala Chor. You might think he can ask these questions that we said in the Mishnah, you can't ask. So why not? This is a braita, like I said, we had this a few days ago, where we have a braita that basically takes the same halacha of our Mishnah, but it darshans it from the psukim more in the style of a midrash halacha. So here it says, you might have thought you can ask mala 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 mata mala fani mala chor. So what does the end of that pasuk say? Ulimikteh hashamayim ba'ad kteh hashamayim. They're taking this pasuk and they're basically saying, here's a pasuk that says, if someone were to ask, right? So they're trying to say, that teaches us what people can ask about. They can ask about, right? It could be a yachid asking, right? It can't be two. It can only be one. It can be from the time of Breshid, right? About creation. That's what we learn. It's about creation. It's also, you can ask questions from Kseh Hashamayim and Kseh Hashamayim, but not beyond. Okay, those are things we're not allowed to ask about. Okay, and this is where, right, we get into this Kabbalistic notion of there's things that we can't ask about, and there's things we can't learn in certain forms, and there's ways to learn, and there's ways not to learn. And like I said, very complicated. But again, if you try to connect all these things together, there's one other thing I want to point out here, that there's a lot of individuality here, right? We started with, there's people who have money and have less money and they can do things in certain ways, and that the halacha is not just, this is the way it is, but that there's times to do things, there's ways to do things, there's you know, like the tashlumin. You can do it in this time frame, but you can't do it outside that time frame. You can, you know, it's all about what, right? There's different standard for Talmid Chacham Shepareish Min HaTorah, where there's someone else who's Pareish Min HaTorah, right? There's all different standards of people, and people are held up to different standards, which, right, we often say, it's not fair, right? Why are people held up to different standards? And why can, you know, you can learn something B'Yachid, you can't learn it with two. You can learn it with two, you can't learn it with three. Everything has particular ways about it, and even though we do have general principles, here we're sort of breaking down some of those general principles and saying that there are things that are individualized, and obviously you have to find the balance between, you know, where we have unique things that are particular to particular people, like here the chacham. If you're really chacham and you really understand, then you can learn it, the Ma'aseh Merkabah. But otherwise, you can't. And that, you know, obviously it becomes tricky when you have a system that does that, and the Mishnayot and the Gemara don't often talk about that. And this is a whole section where really they get into the individual role in various things. So maybe that's some sort of connection, and maybe we'll come up with other things as we go on. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.